Cassia, can you open us up in prayer? Amen. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And it does it. All right. So, Jesse, can you read that?
And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
All right, so I was going to say, do you guys know saying anything different with him, or he made alive? But it doesn't show it up there. So we'd actually have to look in the Bible.
Well, what about he created?
Huh?
What did he create?
No. He made alive. So.
What do you want up there?
No, I should have looked at the translation before. But can you pull it up on your phones quickly?
What?
I don't have
a phone.
Huh?
Pull what up? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Well, it's just one. The first verse, one. New King James.
New King James is up there.
All right, open up the Bible, please. All
right.
Huh?
Or
if you open up your version, what does it say? Does it see, do you see? It's italicized, right?
Oh, okay.
So, but it's not up there. I don't know why it's not up there. But, so, it's italicized, meaning that what?
It's important.
It's important. Any other guesses?
I forget.
So, it's a different font. Let's go basic, right? It's a different font. It kind of slants to the right. Emphasize. It does emphasize something. It slants right and it's more cursive-like, if you will. So it's definitely different than the other font, right? So you know that there's a difference. So in this case, you know, why these words? It's because in the original text, there's not really words. It's not a translation for those words. Those words were added. And the reason the translator added them is they're trying to make of the context, make it more readable for the person. You know, translations from one language to another sometimes can be very difficult. You know, sometimes there's not a perfect word-for-word translation. God bless you. You know, sometimes there is. I feel like most of the Bible translators, or the people that translated the Bibles, they try their best. But for the New King James Version, and actually for the King James Version also, is that they put that there just to let you know. You know, they did this to try to make it read better, or the context. We'll see in a little bit that the context flows with it, but they added these words. But they let you know they added these words. You know, some translations, if you ever wonder why there are so many different Bible translations, is just, you know, some of them are word for word. Some of them are thought for thought. So more sentence by sentence, they translated each sentence and then went on. And some are the whole paragraph, and they kind of, and the idea is they're trying to make it more readable, right? More understandable. Now, sometimes some versions don't have, they have words that we no longer use today in our common speech, right? Like thee and thou. We don't really use those words, right? We know what they mean, but we don't use the words. So that's why there's different translations. But in the same token, we need to be careful on not to change too much. You know, not to change God's word into words of man. But in today's age, computers and phones, you know, you could jump between versions very quickly, right? Just a little click. Well, if you are a computer at home, right? Or a tablet, or... Oh. Right. Well, back in the day, you know, Bible teachers would have multiple books. And they'd have like a table of just books, and they'd have to jump between books. But nowadays, it's a lot easier. And when you're studying the Bible or going through the Bible, you know, sometimes those translations, they're really close. But then sometimes just saying the exact same thing a little bit differently, it just clicks. And so sometimes it's nice and it's convenient to look at a different version every now and then. Now, there's obviously better versions than others and very loose translations compared to close translations. And we want to stick to as close as we can to God's word, but sometimes we can get something out of other translations. I just thought I'd bring that point up because it is italicized and didn't know if you guys knew that. Now, Paul, you know, he wrote this letter to the churches of Ephesus, right? And there, most of the congregation of the church would have been, anybody guess? What kind of people? Ephesians, right? Of course. But they would have been, there's two types of people we always talk about.
I don't know.
Gentiles, right? It's a Gentile nation. Most of the people in the congregation would have been Gentiles, meaning
they weren't Jews.
They were not Jews, exactly. They're non-Jews. So up until this point, basically they probably, at least some of them, had no idea about God, right? They didn't know about God, or if they did, they just heard about them, little things, rumors. They were dead in trespasses in sin. You know, they weren't physically dead, right? Because he's not talking to dead people. They weren't physically dead. It's kind of a figure of speech. They were spiritually dead, though. Meaning they weren't connected to God. You know, they were as good as dead. You know, the way they walked or the way they lived their lives, that's what, when we read in the Bible, we're talking about walking, it's how we live our lives, it's how we walk our lives, was according to the world. You know, because they didn't have God, so they were definitely living according to the world. The world in the Bible refers to, anybody know? It talks about the world. Does it talk about it in a good way? Or a bad way? Bad way, right? So he's talking about the world, what doesn't consult God, doesn't talk to God, doesn't follow God. You know, walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of whom now works with the son of disobedience. Who is that?
Satan.
Right? It's obviously Satan. And the power of the air. You know, we saw air this morning, right? And the wind, it was blowing very erratically, meaning it goes this way, it goes that way. Yes?
Satan can technically control the elements of the earth.
Yes. But he's still under God's dominion, right? But he controls that. He's a prince there, but the air just goes here and there. It's not really, you know, stable most of the time. Which is crazy.
God controls him still, and he's still like,
oh, right. It's kind of crazy that he still thinks that. It's like he knows the word, but I don't know. But he's trying to get as many people. He's deceived. He deceived himself. But it says a prince. Why a prince? Is because he's not a king, right? He's not a king. He's still under the one true king, which is God. So he's still under God's control. Or he's still under the authority of God. Now, these who do not know God, you know, that's who Paul's addressing this to. Now, you guys are still very young, right? And I wasn't sure exactly who was going to be here, but I was going to say, I feel like most of you, if not all of you, were raised in the church. But I got a feeling everybody here was raised in the church, right? Since little, right? And I've seen and I've heard people who've been raised in the church feel like they don't have a good testimony. Does anybody know what a testimony is? Yes. It's more, yes.
It's like the story of how you came to Christ.
It's the story. You know, like if you're telling people how or why you believe or how you started believing, it's more of how you started believing is your testimony. And then there are some people that feel like they don't have a good testimony. Well, like, you know, there's some people who it's like a certain experience happened, like, you know, like I...
Like a lot of people have like very like radical like changes in their life. Like they've always like been like the worst, but they like have like such like a huge transformation. And when you grow up like in the church, you feel like you don't have that like intense transformation like other people do.
Right.
So you feel as if
right. So it'd be, it usually is a transformation type thing. For instance, like I had a little girl and I had that desire to be better for her. So all in all, that led me to wanting to do the right thing, led me to go and be with the family at church, led me to believing in God. So there's certain things, there's testimonies on that. But, and I need to find my place because I hit my screen. You know, they feel like they're not impactful because they haven't hit rock bottom. But I think they're wrong. I feel like they're wrong. Everybody struggles with different things, right? There's struggles out there. There's struggles, and I've known you guys gone through some struggles, and you can't discount that, those struggles. You guys gone through struggles, or you will go through struggles of different things. For a person to stay strong from a young age, it could be very powerful, just as much as somebody climbing out of a pit. So don't sell yourself short. I love to hear, because I want the best for you guys, I love to hear somebody choosing God sooner than later. So I think it's very powerful. I think people are wrong when they discount that testimony where it should be. It is a powerful testimony. Now, you may be thinking, all right, so I talk about that. You guys all have been raised in the church. You guys known God since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, right? So Paul can't be talking to you guys, right? He's not talking to you guys. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Matt, can you read that?
Flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by children of wrath, just as the others.
So, among whom also, and just as the others, this would include the Jews, are people who have been raised knowing God. You know, are maybe those who know about God but don't quite follow Him every time. On our own, everyone falls shy of God's standards. And don't get me wrong in that it's not saying that there's no good people, because there is tons of good people, but God's standards are perfect, and nobody's perfect. You know, we've all struggled with that. So Paul is painting this picture. He's painting this picture which includes everyone. People who know of God and falling a little short. People who don't know of God. You know, it's kind of a before and after picture. You guys have seen those before, right? You know, maybe it's a cast members of an old movie. You know, where some of the cast members, they look close to the same, but maybe just a little bit older. Then others, there's a huge transformation, right? It's like, whoa, that guy looks totally different. Now, Paul isn't painting a pretty picture. He's painting a scary and an embarrassing picture, right? You know, Paul is being kind of a downer, right? Isn't he? Yes.
Did you know that Paul's name was actually originally Saul, and Saul got blinded by God because he was executing Christians?
Yes. Yes, I did.
He didn't want his name to be Saul anymore because Saul was bad. He changed his name, God changed his name for him to Paul.
Actually, the Bible doesn't say he changed his name. And what I believe is that Paul is the Greek name for Saul, and Saul is the Hebrew name for Saul. You know, because if you look at it, it depends on who Paul or Saul is talking to. If he's talking to Gentiles, they refer him as Paul, but if he talks to Jews in Acts, they still have him as Saul, and then in Acts, they call him Paul too. But I've never seen where they actually say, oh, I changed my name. Or God changed my name. God has changed other people's names, and they tell you that. But the Bible, I've not seen that. Just a little FYI. So Paul, is he kind of being a downer? He's like, oh, well, you've done this, you've done that. Right? Where's the good news? Come on, Paul, where's the good news? In Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 5, Cassia.
But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
All right, the reason we are saved is because God is rich in mercy. His mercy has no ends. You know, he has more mercy than what he knows what to do with. It's like, okay, you have mercy, now you have mercy. Right? So it's his mercy, and because he has great love for us. Now, remember that picture Paul is painting? We're not cute and cuddly. So that's not why God loves us. It's not like, oh, look at little teddy bears. No, we're not cute and cuddly. Without him, we're dead in trespasses, right? We're like zombies to him. You know, not the cute zombies. No, the ugly ones. Right, yeah, we're not those. You know, he loves us even though we mess up. He loves us even though we fail. You know, a father's love, an unconditional love, is why God woke up the spirit within us, right? He made us alive. You know, he made us alive in Christ. It is his grace that saved us. Ephesians chapter 2, 6 and 7, Jesse. So he raised us up together, right? He raised up Gentiles and Jews together. You know, those who did not believe yet and those who believed. You know, God's family is very diverse. It's diverse. It includes everybody. So there's a lot of different people. So it's very diverse. And plus, if you think about it, back in the day, the Gentiles and the Jews, they loved each other. They had barbecues together, right?
That's funny,
right? Because it's cynical. It's because they hated each other, right? They hated each other. But in God's family, there's no room for hate. The world, and I mean Satan, wants us to be at each other's throat, right? It loves strife, or he loves strife. But yes.
Did you know Satan was the creator of lies?
Yes. Yes, I read that. Yes, he was the father. He is the father of lies. All right. So, but we should get to liking people, right now, because in eternity we don't know who we're in a room with. Maybe it's, so. It's better to start liking people now and getting used to that. Now, we're not in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, at least not yet. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's a difference between that, with and in. You know, because we believe in Jesus, you know, he's sitting at this huge dinner table, saving us a seat. You know, we got little name cards. He's making sure nobody else sits there. Now, he loves everybody the same, so he's saving a lot of people's seats. Like I said, it's a huge table, but he's saving us a seat at that table. Now, I do know that there's probably all of you guys are pretty good at math, right?
I'm good at math.
No? Nah, you're not good at math? All right, so we're going to go a little equation. Well, it's an easy equation, though. So, x equals, oh, this is. X, it's just a variable, right? X just, what does x mean? X means God's grace, all right? God's grace. All right. Then y, if that's God's grace, this is ages to come. Oh, to come. Right? I almost did. R, what's another word for ages to come or another phrase?
Future.
Future, our years that were, well, years that were alive, in this case, years of life. Okay. All right. So, x times. How do you do an x and a times? X times y.
Do a dot.
Do a dot. Okay. I like that. I used to know that. And then equals. What do you think that equals? So that's the amount. Whoops. That's a U. It looks like an N, but it's not. That's an N. It looks like an M, but it's not. The amount of what?
Well,
So that's God's grace, and that's the amount of years. So this is a percentage kind of question. It's the amount of grace we'll receive in our lifetime, right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah? Sure. So does it make sense for you mouth whizzes out there? Does it make sense to maybe trust Jesus early in life or late in life? What was that?
Earlier,
right? Earlier. Because you'll get more grace, percentage-wise. He loves us all the same, but you guys have a potential to actually experience more grace than, say, I. Yes, I did. Yes.
Like, my dad was actually, like he was far from Christ. Like, one time he was in this church, and he saw a demon right there. He's sitting in a chair. He's like, he's right, this invisible figure. And then he saw it get up and just zoom away.
Oh,
And when he started becoming a Christian, he has, like, such a strong relationship with God. He can, like, hear the Holy Spirit.
Right, and it's awesome. And don't get me wrong, because I'm talking to you guys, and I want you guys to make that decision earlier. There's nothing wrong necessarily. Sometimes it takes people longer, or they have to go through things to get to that point to trust God. And there's nothing wrong. It would be better, instead of going through something horrible, to trust God from the beginning. That's my belief. Is that I think it still would be better. You know, why go through that pain? Why not just skip that pain and go straight to God? And that's why we learn about God, is because God doesn't want bad things to happen to us. That's why he tells us things and wants us to follow him. Right? Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. Matt. Now, we just went through the whole chapter of Galatians, right? The whole New Testament. So, I mean, Paul's letters. There's this theme. There's definitely a lot of people feeling like, well, if I'm good enough, I can make it, right? If I'm good enough, God will let me pass. But we're not saved. I mean, we're not saved by works. Something fall? Oh. But we're saved by grace. You know, we cannot earn our way to heaven unless anybody would boast, meaning that then it wouldn't be God's grace, it would be our works, and it's on God's grace. But it's okay. It's okay that we can't earn our way because it's a free gift. Right? It's a free gift because he loves us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Cassia.
We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
So we are made to do good works. That's just how we're made. You know, Christians don't work for their faith. They show their faith by their works. So, a little recap is when we do not believe in Jesus, our spiritual life is what?
Dead.
It's dead. Yes?
In the Garden of Eden, God said, you touch that fruit, you will surely die. But he didn't mean die morally, he meant die spiritually.
Right, and also that, and with that, sin came along, actual death too. But yes, yeah, that spiritually, you know, that disconnection from God. But when we decide to believe in Jesus, we are no longer dead. You know, we're alive in him. You know, the dead body, it's morbid, but I don't talk about a dead body and you're thinking about a dead body. It's very comfortable in a coffin, right? It doesn't mind the close quarters, you know, the no breathing room, elbow room. It's fine.
Only breathing room for 6 hours.
For only 6 hours. That's good to know. How do you know that? But the living body with that only 6 hours of breathing time, you know, that living body, if it was in a coffin, it wants to get out, right? Time is ticking, right? Only a couple more hours left. It wants to escape. It wants to put as much distance between them and that coffin, right? I mean, it's our natural instinct to live as long as we possibly can, so we don't want to be in that coffin. Now, over the years, medical science has not been the best. You know, it's just kind of theories. And they've actually buried more than just a few mistakenly people what they thought were dead, and yet they were still alive. You read about this, and you know, the grave digger throwing the dirt on, and you hear some knocking. Hello, I'm not quite done yet. They actually have some scientists, they believe that Alexander the Great actually wasn't dead. He was like in a coma or a paralyzing coma or something, that he was actually buried alive. I can only imagine the need to escape in this picture of doom, right?
Also, if he was in a coma, they couldn't have done anything anyways, because
they could see him breathe. Wouldn't they see him breathing if he was in a coma?
Huh?
Wouldn't they see him breathing if he was in a coma?
Well, some people, certain things where people will, their breathing rate is very low. And back then, you got to think, they didn't have stethoscopes. They'd put like a candle by the nostrils to see if there's breath. And if it was really low, they wouldn't know. You know, I don't know. But, Cass, I thought about that.
Back then, they wouldn't have been able to do anything anyways if he was in a coma. So.
Right. So he would have eventually died anyways. But,
unless he woke up on his own.
But can you imagine? It's like, hey, I am king. The greatest person in the world. Hello. Anyone? My battery's running low. Now, how is, this is something I want you guys to ponder, how is your before and after picture? Are you guys far away from that old coffin? Are you close to it because it's, in a weird way, it feels comfortable? Because it's, sometimes it feels easier not to step out in faith. That's something for you guys just to ponder during the week. Yes, Matt?
Do you know what's harder to believe in Christianity?
What's harder?
Yeah. Evolution and that, like Earth is flat. Because, I mean, like, that's like saying you came from a rock. You came from a little germ on a rock.
Right. It's, and
like, here, do you know the bombardier beetle? It has multiple chambers in its abdomen they have special chemicals.
Right.
And if there was evolution, the bombardier beetle would have been bombed by God.
Right.
Do you believe in fire-breathing dragons?
Well, I was just going to say that. I've heard that to explain fire-breathing dragons and dinosaurs.
And maybe, like, the chambers mixed together and then touched oxygen and then they breathe fire out of their mouth.
Right. Or just spit, like, acid, which burnt people, which made them think fire.
And dinosaurs didn't go all extinct during the flood, because it says it's like maybe a few thousand years ago we hunted them down to extinction because they were hunting our elephants. And they said that they were fire-breathing dragons.
That's it. Right. There's a lot of different remarks throughout history about that. But I just wanted to leave you with that as far as thinking about your journey, your transformation from the old you. And I know, again, you guys are young, and hopefully you guys haven't done horrible things. You haven't killed anybody, right? Kidnapped people, Shanghai'd people, no. Okay, good. We're looking threatening people. Yes. Now, and I say that jokingly as far as, but I know that there's always struggles. And I'm not displaying struggles. But God is with us. We made that conscious choice to believe in Him. God is with us. And we should no longer want any part of that. Right? Michelle, can you close us in prayer?